Welcome back to the Food Chainers podcast. Thank you so much for your support about last week's big announcement. So let's jump right back in to all things nutrition. And today, in honor of Halloween week and the upcoming holidays, we are covering sugar. We're going to talk about why you crave sugar, and just a hint, this has nothing to do with willpower. We're going to talk about what blood work can give you information about your current intake, how much sugar to have. We'll talk about how to slash sugar, tips to cut back, what to add to your diet. We have lots to cover today.
Big topic.
Supplements, extras that really work for cutting cravings. And finally, we're going to talk about treats and how to work them into your healthy routine. And of course, our favorite Halloween candies. These are the best sweets to eat if you're going to sweet that you might want to stock up on.
Absolutely.
So let's get started. We both love a treat and totally do indulge. As some people find that surprising, but like warm chocolate chip cookies are my favorite. Mm-hmm. And we also do know that the more sweets you eat, the more you will crave. So
absolutely. I mean, I think the saying that gets thrown around a lot, like sugar is like crack or anything is like crack, is actually legit. In studies head-to-head, rats will choose sugar water over cocaine. How they act similarly is that sugar does similar things in terms of the pleasure centers in your brain, your dopamine levels, the same way that cocaine or morphine or nicotine does. And it also does the same thing in terms of it produces less of an effect. So if you're a sugar eater, and those pleasure centers to be activated are going to need more and more sugar. So it drives your, this triggers more cravings and drives you to seek out more of whatever the substance is so that it'll give you a high. So sugar addiction is absolutely real. Sugar withdrawal is real, which we'll get to in a minute. And the other, so part of it is that how it works in that addictive nature. The other mechanism and the reason behind like the more sweet you eat, the more you crave is that sugar changes our microbiome, your microbiome in your gut, which is kind of like a control tower in your gut. So the whatever that real estate is, whatever those type of strains of bacteria, it's going to affect everything from your cravings to your mood. 90% of your serotonin is produced in your gut. And so things like anxiety and depression and sugar cravings are controlled by what's happening in there. The good news is that, we can change what's happening in your gut. A few notes, in terms of gut health and in terms of getting your cravings on track, things like pesticides, antibiotics, lots of meds, birth control, NSAIDs, which are, sort of like Advil and Motrin, they all adversely affect your gut, which are then going to affect the messages that are sent to your brain. So in order to short circuit the, eat more sugar, I can't get enough sugar, never satiated messages, we need to focus on our gut health, which we're going to explain a little bit. So, and I can't say this enough, Carolyn mentioned it earlier in the intro, this is not about being weak or not having willpower. This is really biological, and it's really something that we can work with.
Absolutely. So we all know that feeling when our sugar intake is out of control. The thing is that it's not really always so easy to see how it's really affecting us. I mean, it might affect your sleep and stuff, but blood work can be super, super eye-opening. And we have a bunch of things we ask clients to ask their doctors for, to get tested for. And depending on like who we're meeting with, our standards might be a little different for each of these results. But there's something called your A1C, your hemoglobin A1C, that you can get in a blood test. And that is a snapshot of your blood sugar over the past 3 months. And so it's a really, really good insight to have you been overdoing sugar? How are you doing blood sugar and insulin-wise? Mm-hmm. How's your body responding to what you're eating?
And you're also sort of like what your body feels like is too much sugar.
Totally. And again, and like we talk about all the time, and this is going to be completely individualized too. But in terms of a number goal, your goal is under 5.6, but really the goal is under 5.2 for optimal health.
That matters today. So again, we've talked about this, a lot in terms of vitamin D. So a lot of lab numbers that doctors will say you're great aren't necessarily, if you really look at the latest research, like for example, sugar and brain health or risk of Alzheimer's, et cetera. So doctors will say 5.6-ish, you're okay. We really like it 5.25 to really optimize everything.
Totally. And to to lower your risks of future diseases. So we also look at your fasting blood sugar, which is overnight and then waking up and taking blood sugar first thing. And that should ideally be between 70 and 85. We want a little bit on the lower end. Triglycerides also can be elevated from excess sugar. They can also be elevated from excess alcohol. I actually had this happen a while ago.
Really?
But I think it was more from the wine. But it really made me curb sort of any extra sugar intake and extra alcohol intake.
And I think, and for some people, numbers are really powerful. Mm-hmm. Especially like Carolyn said, like we know when our sugar is like in a really bad place, but what if it's in like a medium place?
Totally.
You know, and then sometimes people come in and they're like, where is, I'm like, okay, well, there's sugar in the yogurt and we'll get to sort of some of the sneaky sources, but seeing that number on paper can be really powerful. I know sometimes I go in like to blood work a little cocky, like I do, and then, you know, like I just want to get a good report card. It's like the, you know, type A-er in me. And whether it's, you know, I've had mercury that hasn't been ideal. I've had, you know, stress hormones that show, you know, gene testing, sometimes you can't do anything about, but it's sort of, you can't really argue with your blood work.
Totally. And stress on that note too can really impact your blood sugar over time too.
Absolutely.
Make you a little bit more insulin resistant. So chronic stress is a big factor in even in sugar cravings too.
Yeah. So it really is, you know, one way to sort of get some information. Mm-hmm. There are also just physical signs of having too much sugar. If you're someone who gets sick all the time or feel like you can't really kick a bug, often sugar is the culprit. Bacteria and viruses thrive on sugar. And, you know, sort of even eating white carbs or too much sugar can have you staying sicker longer. On a more serious note, cancer cells love sugar. And a really important one when we have clients going through treatment such as radiation or chemo, they're far more successful in the absence of sugar. So eating less sugar really makes a difference in your overall wellness and also in your longevity. So how much sugar should you eat? We're the first ones to get caught up in like the festive nature of Halloween. Even if, you know, we're not eating M&Ms and we'll discuss sort of specific sweets a little bit later, just saying like sugar isn't healthy, we shouldn't eat, you know, that much isn't really good enough. You know, it's not the advice that we ever give. We like to give you specifics. So the recommended amount of sugar per day is 38 grams for men. There's 4 grams per teaspoon. So that's about 9 teaspoons, which to me, the teaspoons are much more meaningful than the grams, or 25 grams, which again, we have to give you because that's how it's listed on a label, or 6 teaspoons for women and 3 to 6 teaspoons for kids. We actually think these numbers are a little bit high, but if you are, again, somebody who's eating a little too much sugar, first get yourself here. So just to give you some context, a day for a woman in terms of sugar, if we're looking at that 25 grams, a flavored yogurt, like a Faye or something with the sidecar, will give you about 11 grams. It might be a little bit different based on flavor, but 11 grams of sugar, an ounce of dark chocolate, which some of you will find a little sad, but is going to give you about 8 grams of sugar for a typical bar. A lot of your protein bars, even your better ones, are going to give you around 10, let's say 9 to 11. So that yogurt, that dark chocolate, that protein bar, you're over budget. Yeah. So that, you know, it's again, so what we're encouraging is you don't have to indefinitely count grams. We're not super county here at Food Trainers, but count them a little bit in the short run, at least for a day to get, you know, just where what's your baseline? And there's sugar in your salad dressings. There's sugar in breads. Many of our, you know, I don't eat a lot of sweet people, and I'm even one of those from time to time. When you look at it, always eat more than you think.
Kombucha and things like that too, that are actually very healthy and have a lot of potential benefits microbiome-wise. So some brands will have 20 grams of sugar for a bottle. So start looking.
Look at it, look at the portion, and then, you know, choose. Maybe it's, as Carolyn said, between a kombucha and a matcha latte that has almond milk that's sweetened, you start to say, you know, today I'm going to have this one and trade off and not have that. So it's not always a question of, you know, sort of quitting sugar entirely. We have a rule, again, all of our rules are based on where people start. So if you are someone who feels like morning, noon, and night, you're having sugar, and again, your biology can drive you to want to do that, try to pick 2 times that you're having something sweet in the day. Mm-hmm. So that would be like, maybe that's, you know, the dark chocolate and the protein bar, and you cap it at that. ultimately, what we feel is a good compromise is having like one sweet item a day. But, you know, that's it's very personal.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the types of sugar. We get asked a lot of questions about this, and there are some better sweeteners than others. The truth is that we need to eat less of all of it. Mm-hmm. But honey, for example, has some B vitamins. It has some great minerals. Maple syrup has some calcium, iron, magnesium. So sometimes the better ones are really green-lighted, but we still want to like really pay attention to the quantities mm-hmm. of that too. It doesn't mean just because honey is, you know, better for you putting it in your green tea three times a day and drizzling it on yogurt. And, you know, it can still really, really add up quickly. But if you do want to keep something on hand to cook or bake with, those are probably honey and maple syrup would be my favorites. Do you have any add-ons to that?
No, I was just thinking, because I always think that like our advice can be interpreted in all different ways. Like you definitely, just like you don't want to drink red wine for the resveratrol, totally. You don't want to get your minerals from your honey because the downside of the sugar is going to outweigh it. But as Carolyn said, if you want something in your pantry,
yeah.
You want something, you know, sort of when a recipe calls for, you know, white sugar, these are good alternatives.
Totally. Yeah. There are a lot of forms of that white sugar out there in different names. But yeah, really look for honey, maple syrup. And we're, of course, not fans of artificial sweeteners for so many reasons. That microbiome that Lauren mentioned. They really, really can impact your desire for sweet. They're also carcinogens. So that means sucralose, saccharin, aspartame, all of these adversely affect it. And so if you're a yellow or a blue packet person or a diet soda person, please, please break up. That's like the very first thing that we have people do when they come into our office. And we're not totally absolute with many things, but these need to go yeah. in any quantity. And, you know, it's like sometimes people come in and have a diet soda like once a month or something, like whatever.
And what do you say?
I'm like, okay, I think we have bigger problems here.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I don't even want it once a month. Yeah.
Yeah, why would you see it once a month? But also, we always will give people sort of like methadones, and we'll talk a little bit about that too.
For soda, like, I do like, and it's like a guilty pleasure. It's not really guilty, but it does feel a little guilt-ridden. I like the Zevias.
Yes, totally. That's exactly
what my... Like, it's so trashy, but I like a grape Zevia. I like the worst flavor of all. It just kind of like, it reminds, there's some like childhood memory there.
I love like the Spindrift, the blackberry one specifically is a little bit sweet and
a little less trashy.
Yeah. No, but like I think that having replacements is the most important thing you can do if you're a soda person or diet soda person. Welcome to this century. okay, so then we get a lot of questions about agave. It is not poison, or we don't think it's poison along the lines of the artificial sweeteners, but we're also not pro agave. Its fructose content is really high, and it will raise blood sugar a little more than most sweeteners. We are pro tequila, which is an agave, yeah. but that's a little bit different.
It's distilled, like the plant. The other thing is that agave got this reputation of being low glycemic, mm-hmm. which is the biggest scam of all because it's the glycemic index measures glucose.
Yeah.
So agave is low on the glycemic index because it has fructose, which is probably the most easy of any of the sugars to be stored as fat.
Yeah.
So it was completely, again, as Carolyn said, agave in a product will even taste it and have, we might not stock so many of them in the office, but agave as like your sweetener on hand that we just talked about, no.
Mm-hmm. In our offices, though, on that note, we do stock stevia and we also are fine with monk fruit too. These are both zero cal sweeteners and we personally prefer the taste of stevia here. We use a great dropper that seems to be much more palatable because it can be polarizing. Some people find that stevia can taste a little bit metallic. And so it's up to you to give it a shot. We love the new stevia we have in our shop. Even healthier sweeteners like stevia or even a monk fruit, it can be problematic in huge quantities. It goes along the same lines of the more sweet you eat, the more sweet you will crave. And that is still true with the zero calorie sweetener. So I mean, I've even gotten out of the habit of putting it in a coffee on a daily basis, just because I find that that makes me crave sugar the whole rest of the day. There, like anything in huge quantities isn't great for you. Even green tea, even like carrots, like people turn orange literally from overdoing carrots. So it's like something
college.
To keep in mind as me in grad school. Yeah. So the message is like, normal amounts of all of it and of anything and less of anything sweet.
Yeah. And I think if you are somebody who's like, you know, really downing huge amounts of anything, maybe just a quick Google. Like Carolyn said, like even green tea, when we say we like green tea, it helps your metabolism. having a gallon of it then will upset your thyroid. So you think it's common sense, but we're as guilty as anyone to like, oh, I really like this.
I really like this, or this is doing something good for me. Yeah. Why not quadruple my dosing?
So now let's talk about, you know, how you go about, as we call it, slashing sugar. And just in terms of what to expect, so this all sounds great and promising and doable, but depending on the amount of sugar you consume daily, you can experience like various, you know, amounts of symptoms as you try to quit sugar. Your body's detoxing. You can get shaky. You can get irritable, moody, extremely hungry. You know, it goes by a lot of different names, you know, the carb flu, et cetera. But what I see oftentimes is when people come in and their blood sugar's out of whack, and again, it can be deceptive. This isn't necessarily the person that's having cookies and cakes and things of that nature, but just eating a lot of sugar throughout their day. Sometimes they're eating like, I just had a client, like an appropriate meal, like a breakfast of eggs, avocado, and berries, which again is nutritious. It's enough. A lot of our clients will eat it and be fine for hours. And this client was saying like in 2 hours, they felt shaky. And it wasn't that we needed to rejigger the meals. It was really just that her body was adjusting. So it's you know, again, just something to expect and something that goes away in as little as even when we do our programs. Day one, some people hate us. Day two, fewer people hate us. By day three, a lot of people are turning the corner. But if your sugar's really out of control, sometimes that can be up to a week before your body really sort of adjusts. So that's a little bit, just expect that. It's normal. And we're going to give you sort of some options so that you won't have as many symptoms too. Then we sort of start to dive in. So one thing that we suggest is doing something called a savory day. So this is a day with absolutely nothing sweet, no sweet taste, no stevia, no fruit, no wine, no ketchup, no balsamic or sweet dressings. And depending on the person, we'll do this. We'll start with like a 1 day litmus test, or we really will, you know, sort of dive in and try for 2 or 3 of those days. If a client comes back or if you try this and it's easy breezy, great. You're not sort of, as we described, addicted to sugar. If it feels impossible, don't despair. It's giving you information. Like, totally. Yeah.
Years and years ago, I had an office do this after a corporate talk and they were like going to murder each other the first day. But then by the second and third day, we did like a group challenge and it was amazing. I think also productivity wise too, it was really cool. It was like a little mini experiment.
But those first couple mice, of days, the bosses were probably like
complaint emails, I remember.
That's really, it's fun to have. It's always good to get good data from a group.
Yeah.
So again, with the savory days, research has shown that within 72 hours, and this is where it kind of feels powerful, you can repair your insulin receptors.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah. So as your insulin levels begin to stabilize, this is how all our hormones are related. Other hormones, like even those involved in fat storage, will return to normal levels. And then another quickie, like another noticeable difference that we see pretty quickly when people are slashing sugar is that their skin improves.
Totally.
And we also are having them like drink water and,
I know, it's hard and to separate them.
Do a lot of, you know, eat a lot of good things for their skin. But I think sugar and skin is really connected. So you can see like a reduction in acne and even long-term things like, you know, fine lines because sugar is inflammatory can be dramatically reduced when you eliminate sugar from your diet.
Totally. Yes, absolutely. So if you've been listening to us for a while or have worked with us, you know, we are not just a skip this and that sort of mentality.
See you later.
So important to, if there is subtracting, we need to be also adding things always, always, always. And so while we suggest a savory day to clients, like Lauren just talked about, and we will post an example of this in our newsletter. So be sure you go to foodtrainers.com and subscribe there. We'll lay it out completely. And so when we're recommending this, we also have specific things that we're suggesting people focus on adding. The first thing would be bitter foods. And so bitter foods like dandelion greens, radicchio, arugula, citrus peel, or zest. We also love our dandelion bitters in the shop. Research shows that consuming these bitter foods shuts down the receptors in our brains that drive us to desire and consume more sugar. So it has a pretty quick biological response. There are also, I guess, a couple of others besides those dandelion greens and like arugula is really like my go-to, I think, mm-hmm. for that. Would be Brussels sprouts. Bitter mm-hmm. melon is sort of like a cucumbery.
You get it at Asian markets.
Yeah, it might be a good opportunity for you to try something new, like outside of your normal sort of routine.
Or if you want to try something old, black coffee or sweet coffee and green tea. I mean, I would consider those bitter too.
Oh, that's
you know,
a great
just to
point.
Give you a little, I mean, still eat the arugula.
Yeah, absolutely. So the key, So the key is putting these bitter foods that you like on a shopping list and experiment a little bit. Aside from bitter foods, bitter veggies, we want you to have 2 cups of vegetables twice a day. Mm-hmm. So 4 cups total, 2 cups twice a day can really, really help also. And then earlier, Lauren mentioned all about our microbiome and how important it is for sugar cravings. We really want to boost, those probiotic and fermented foods. And so our gut, like Lauren said, is this control tower. So we do suggest the probiotic supplement. We have a great one in our shop that clients do so well with. We've really carefully picked it out. Fermented foods also are incredible for this too. Apple cider vinegar, fermented veggies. You're a fermented veggie queen. What are your favorite brands?
So many. So even Mother-in-Law Kimchi is a national brand. They do a daikon radish kimchi, which is can convert a lot of people. Farmhouse Kraut, I think, is really user-friendly. They do make chips. They make really yummy chips.
Are they actually?
Really recommend a chip. Like I think that's like shooting ourselves in the foot. But again, if you're in the market for a chip, they make a chip.
Yeah.
But we're talking about their krauts. They do, I think, about 10 flavors. Mm-hmm. And it's farmhouse culture. You can find all of these in the refrigerated aisle. Bubby's Pickles.
So good.
Again, like a good like entry level fermented food. What am I leaving out?
Miso. I like to cook with that a lot or put it in salad dressings.
And as Carolyn said, we love all types of apple cider vinegar. It just has to be raw.
Yeah. And a lower sugar kombucha too. We love Pilot. And
Bear's Fruit.
Oh my gosh, I love Bear's Fruit so much.
Bear's Fruit hit a good note because it's about, I don't know if they're national, but it's about an 8-ounce bottle. So what the problem with a lot of kombuchas is that you have to double that sugar because it's 2 servings.
A lot of times they are. Yeah. The flavors are so good with Bear's Fruit too. Strawberry jalapeno is the best.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically fermented foods, just to explain it, they will slow down the conversion of carb to sugar and they also will stabilize your blood sugar. So that's why we like to add them in. So try for one a day, especially on these savory days. Collagen protein can also be really, really beneficial for healing your gut. And then we also always need to add in those fabulous fats that have a whole podcast dedicated to. They really help ease symptoms. We love MCT or olive oil. And just so you know, we are also going to create a sort of sugar/bundle for you guys, a kit from our favorite products from the shop that really, really help when you're trying to wean yourself off sugar.
Yeah, and we'll include instructions on how to use them too. I think psychologically, it's really nice to have like tools. You know, you'll hear a lot of advice. I'm not slamming doctors by any means, but we'll hear our clients go and my doctor said to quit sugar or my doctor said to stop drinking. Like, okay, now let's work on the behaviors and the, you know, supplements and things of that both physically and psychologically will support you so that you're not just, you know, miserable and also being unsuccessful. I think that's the problem. Okay. So Carolyn mentioned the foods. Food first. We've said that 100 times. Before you start with any supplement, you want the basics of your diet and also just lifestyle. We're not going to talk too much about sleep and exercise, but those definitely play a role in, you know, just making your system, you know, sort of need, sort of a different fix. Herbs and spices. So stress-reducing herbs, we've talked a lot about, you know, sort of magnesium. And we've talked about magnesium and CBD. I was going to mention rhodiola, which is one of a group of herbs called adaptogens that Carolyn and I recommend a lot. Rhodiola is something that can be taken in the morning. And again, the concept being that when you suppress some of the stress response that drives some of these cravings, that then you're in a better place to make decisions. In terms of spices, we love cinnamon. It has really good, real research behind it in terms of the way that it affects blood sugar. We suggest Ceylon cinnamon. There's another cinnamon called, I think, cassia cinnamon that doesn't necessarily have the same benefits. Cinnamon is interesting because it gives you a little bit of that sweet taste, but it also helps so that your blood sugar doesn't rise so much. It's also very good for cold and flu season.
I actually got off stevia in my coffee. I used to could only drink coffee in the morning with some sweet. Sort of sweetener in there. But I used cinnamon and it really is, like I mentioned earlier, methadoning. And we always want to add something in as you take something out. So I found that one specifically, that Ela brand that we have in our shop is so good.
Yeah. And I think, again, cinnamon and vanilla, like both of them can do what you just said, which is like, okay, I can't have coffee without something sweet. Mm-hmm. They're both worth experimenting with. So rhodiola, we talked about adaptogens, cinnamon, something we're big believers in. It's super safe, like a quarter teaspoon a day is a good idea. A probiotic supplement. So again, that gut, it's a control tower, it controls your cravings. You need to put down, you know, sort of the right messengers so that you are driven to eat the right things. We're not going to get into it. The research is new, but there's certain cultures, this is why we picked ours fairly carefully, that seem to be more connected to cravings, weight, et cetera. But just if you're not choosing ours, choose a probiotic supplement that has multiple cultures, even though we could tease out a few. So that's those Latin names on the back. There's one called Rhamnosus that we like a lot. Mm-hmm. And take both a probiotic supplement and eat probiotic foods like apple cider vinegar that we mentioned. A quick note, recently a ton, Carolyn was just talking to me about it. Two, what is going on? Sorry, really sexy today.
Sexy voice.
But a lot of clients are coming in with doctors suggesting metformin, which is traditionally a medication used for diabetes or adult, what used to be called adult onset diabetes. It's a medication that controls your blood sugar. It is, like, as far as meds go, it is relatively safe. There's a lot of biohackers that use metformin because they feel it's just healthier for us long-term, like we were talking about with that A1C level, to control our blood sugar. But it wouldn't be our first step. And if you look at the research, which is done a lot in diabetics for cinnamon and apple cider vinegar, and you can try to consume them daily, do that. You do that for 3 months, get your A1C tested before you jump into a medication. Look, we're like, the lure of like a magic cure is we get it. And again, we feel like there's meds like your statins that we really try to avoid at all costs. I wouldn't put the metformin in that category. But again, let's try to do it with something more natural.
Totally. Okay, so let's talk about fruit because this is one that we get asked all the time. Like, should I be watching my fruit intake or can I eat a banana? So we devise all of our plans with clients based on where someone is starting from. And so if you're binging or eating sleeves of sugar, and that's where our brains tend to lead us to. So that's not like an embarrassing thing or a shameful
thing. Like sleeves of cookies or
something. Yeah. Sorry, exactly. Can I speak? If you're in that sort of category, we're not starting with cutting fruit. Like,
let's leave the banana.
Yeah. But in the hierarchy of food problems, yeah, like an extra piece of fruit a day is not going to be any sort of issue or our biggest concern. I used to eat like buckets of pineapple and this stuff. And like, you know, in that case, though, you do end up feeling like it does impact your sugar.
Probably better than buckets of candy.
Yeah, 100%.
I had a client who was, just struggling with like really serious, you know, binging and night eating. This is years ago. And he would like eat five containers of cut mango. It's super sweet. That was like our transition from like the, you know, sort of ice cream and the cookies and the cake and still giving him some nutrition. Yes, it's a lot of sugar. But again, that's just an example of like how we would work
with
someone.
If you're going to take something out, like habit replacement is like the very first step, I think, in a lot of these ways too, of like, you know, for someone, it might be fruit. For someone, you know, to replace cookies and candy and night eating, someone, it might be tea might work. You know, there's lots
of kombucha in a wine glass instead of a drink. Yeah,
totally. So that being said, if we are looking at all the details, yes, some fruits do have more sugar than others. And like, of course, it's better than cake, but it still turns into sugar. And if we are eating, you know, like I said, eating buckets of pineapple, that can turn upwards of like 60 grams of sugar really quickly, which is double or triple the amount that we're supposed to be having, you know, in a day. Mm-hmm. The quantities that we're supposed to be having in a day, like Lauren mentioned those grams earlier, is added sugar. But I still think like eating a ton of fruit or, you know, there are people who are like on the banana diet or fruitarians. Yeah. Have you heard of that?
A nightmare. And all at the end of the day, all excess sugar is going to be stored as fat. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, like what we're saying is that like a banana is better than a cookie, but, you know, you shouldn't necessarily be eating a bunch of bananas a day. Mm-hmm. Unless that's really a first step for you.
Totally. So we do say one or two times a day, of having fruit once or twice a day. And the best fruits out there are going to be raspberries. Really, all of the berries are fantastic. Asian pears, papaya is fantastic. The higher sugar fruits are going to be mangoes, bananas, cherries, the grapes. Really delicious ones, grapes, yes. And we do eat those foods and we put them in smoothies. I always have like a banana on my way to an afternoon workout or something, just not like 12 or 15 servings of them.
Yeah. And I think sometimes the messaging is like misinterpreted. I have clients who are like, I was, you know, in an airport but I didn't want to eat the banana. So I got the blah, 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 like candy or nutrition, eat the banana. I did like a Mind Body Green sugar series with, I think it's probably still online, with Siggy's yogurt a few years ago. And there was like the funniest question came from like a banana phobe. Mm-hmm. I think she called herself that.
I love that. Yeah, people really are.
So let's talk candy.
Love it.
I mean, we're firm believers that, you know, we're concerned with how clients and how you eat, you know, sort of day in and day out. But it really is, you know, I think that, you know, a life without treats is a little bit sad. And it's a healthy eating skill to be able to veer from super healthy and then return to your like go-tos. So we actually have clients like once a week pick a sweet treat, or it could be a savory treat, but you know, something that isn't necessarily a food that a nutritionist would recommend. Plan it out, you know, so like, oh, I think maybe Saturday night, eat a reasonable portion. So again, it's, you know, eating a portion versus how we often eat, you know, in private. Yeah, try to have the treat out of the house and enjoy it. You know, I think, again, moving just these foods from like the, you know, things we do for an emotional reason or things that are guilt-ridden or things that we eat in excess or things that we have physical symptoms from into the like, okay, I'm going to eat really well, you know, day in and day out as well as I can, but also find a place for whatever, you know, sort of that treat is for you.
Totally. So if we're talking Halloween, what are your favorite candies?
It's so funny because I think of myself as so savory and I think I pride myself on that. And I was like, oh my God, there's a million candies that I like. So I'm definitely in the black licorice club. You know, I think that you either are or you aren't. Like, yeah. You like a black jelly bean or you don't. Carolyn's like,
no.
Thanks. No. But you know who you are and definitely don't think I'm alone. But the problem is that I also am gluten-free and a lot of black licorices have wheat in them. It's so sneaky and it's like mean. It's one of the few things that like bothers me about being gluten-free. But Yum Earth makes organic black licorice that is wheat-free. Also, I know this is another, I think this is not Carolyn's favorite either, but I love chocolate.
Very different taste, but
we do on everything but margaritas. and I think like foods, we're more similar,
yeah.
But maybe not with our sweets. Chocolate mint. I love anything chocolate mint. Chocolate mint ice cream is my flavor. We actually have these Blissfully Bitter chocolate mint bites. They're almost like thin mint cookies. Maybe without, or maybe more like a peppermint patty. And I knew that these were good because my son like texted me a picture of them and was like, we got to get more of these.
Oh, that's
like,
amazing.
Okay, great. Like if the 15-year-old likes it.
Definitely.
Hugh Kitchen makes amazing chocolates. They do a chocolate mint too.
We just got the chocolate mints in stock too.
Yep. And they'll be up on the website if I don't bring them home. caramel, love. I think
we do overlap somewhere.
Anything with caramel sort of gets my vote. I think it's definitely like a childhood favorite. Also toffee used to be like before tennis practice, the Heath bar was my like from the food truck at school. But Coco Melz, which is a great company, they do these amazing dark chocolate salted caramel bites. And what's really nice is they come with like two bites in a pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to do too much damage. What would you say? What about you?
Okay, so yeah, I'm on the caramel train with you. I grew up eating those Caramello bars, Rolos, frozen Milky Ways.
Oh my God,
summer.
Rolos.
Yeah, so good. It was a problem. Like it used to be a problem. My mom used to have to like hide the Caramello bars from me. We would get like cases of them from like Sam's Club or whatever.
Oh my God, that's dangerous.
yeah, all this childhood flavors are so good. So I love Coconut Bliss ice cream. They have a dark chocolate coated salty caramel bar.
God, I don't know about this.
Oh my gosh, they're so good. They're like those individual sort of ice cream bars that are just my favorite if I'm really needing a sweet. I also love those mini Eat Chic matcha cups. Those are delicious. Like, I'm not such a matcha person, but these have converted me. I love them.
I'm laughing because I do think when we got those in, we did a podcast and we were eating them for breakfast.
Yes, we definitely were. That definitely happened. So we are going to shout out to all of our favorites in our newsletter and on social media. But some other ones we'd love too would be Wholesome and a brand called Surf Sweets that do sort of like the Swedish fish gummy candies and like worms and stuff, but totally
free of the diet. They also do, we're probably going to diverge here too, but they do like a cinnamon bear. For like hot tamale peoples.
Nice.
Do you hate hot tamales too?
I would never reach for that.
Okay.
That would be an easy
like if I was going to like a bin candy store, I would go for the black licorice and the hot tamales. Totally.
So I guess a note on that too, one thing with candy is you really want to watch out for those food dyes too, which just really briefly to cover.
Beyond the sugar.
Beyond the sugar, the food dyes are even more dangerous, like red food dyes, any reds specifically. Yeah, so Blissfully Better, like I mentioned, we're going to have in stock for Kayleen and for Lauren, maybe not for me. But so Peppermint Patties, Andy's Mint, if you're into any of those, this is your new pick. Eating Evolved also does awesome paleo chocolate cups. Those ones were really good sellers here too. And Reese's, of course, our loves too. We love Hugh. Hugh has a great almond butter quinoa, I think, quinoa puff bar. And Justin's peanut butter cups are delicious.
I try not to buy the Hugh almond butter quinoa because
one serving.
To me it's the dangerous flavor
the
in our
bar.
House. Yeah. Kayleen, any favorite sweets that we're leaving out or that you love? You know what you'd like? She said, if you can't hear her, she's a sour person at the movies. Movie snacks are a whole other category. You should bring these to the movies, by the way, and not do the real thing. Tori and Howard, they're this great company. They do a lot of different, in quotes, healthy candy, you know, healthier candy. Mm-hmm. But they do these bites that are a lot like, they look like Starburst for that. And they do a sour pack of them.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had them, the sour apples, like if you were like a Laffy, the childhood like memories of candies are so powerful. Like sour apple is not something, except for our Lord Jones new gummies, something that was on my radar at all. And then I had one of these sour chews and I was like, oh my God, 7-Eleven, Laffy Taffy.
Brings all that.
Right back. Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, this is a fun topic. It's also a serious topic if you're struggling with this. So we tried to cover both sides of it. And I think just, you know, as healthy as we aspire to be, this is, you know, treats are treats, and they do add a little bit of fun. Just to sort of bring it back around, think about some of that blood testing, maybe a little after Halloween.
Yeah, totally. And like GI testing too, like gut testing too might be, I mean, it's so new right now. We could have a whole podcast on that. But getting an idea of like, some people do have candida and have actual, which
totally.
Is, crave a ton of sugar.
It's you have to collect your duty.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. But it's like not so bad. I've done it. And it's like very interesting. There's info you get. Whether or not it's totally reliable is still
right. But it's still interesting. Absolutely. Integrate a lot of the foods and supplements we suggested. Again, if you're sort of really needing help, we bundled everything together just to give you everything in one place on Shop Food Trainers. And most importantly, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. I think you can feel out of control. This can feel so daunting, like something that you're never going to lick, but it can be tamed. It can be fixed. And again, like for every person that's, you know, I loved at a conference years ago, I don't know if we were there together at a Janine Roth conference, she talked about like opening her fridge and like how we all eat in private. And I was like, oh my God, other people eat in front of the fridge with like, you know, no utensils, exactly.
Or no pants on. Yeah. Just me.
But no, we're all in our own houses, like sort of doing all our secret things. And it's kind of, you know, we hear this all day long. So we know that, I don't want to say it's normal, but it's common. Mm-hmm. Definitely there's hope.
Absolutely. And so for closing thoughts, we are here to help. Go to foodtrainers.com and become a client or get our sugar/bundle. And that's going to come, it's going to be available on the shop and will come with instructions for how to use all the things we feel are the most beneficial and that can be really helpful.
Yeah, even if you can't come in as a client, that should be a good starter pack.
Totally. So happy Halloween. Please pass this along to the sweetest, had to make a, the sweetest people in your life and show us how you're slashing sugar or eating better for you treats and what your favorite ones are.
Absolutely. Have a great week.
Bye.